And once again, we're back with hour number two of the broadcast on the Power Hour. For those of you who are missing the show, your friends are missing the show, you can tell them to dial in on thepowerhour.com. We have all these things archived for you. The shows will be there. You can listen to hour number one and number two of this particular segment. My name is Dave Krieger. I'm the author of a book called Clouded Titles, which talks all about the foreclosure mess and what happened in 2008 and how it's evolved into the mess that is our current financial picture. And with all the foreclosures and everything that are going to start happening with this moratoriums being lifted, there's evidence of it already. It looks like we're going to have at least a million or more foreclosures around the country between now and the end of the year. So I hope you are not one of the unlucky ones to have to face the music there, because a lot of the times, as we have discovered, there's all sorts of bogus documents in the land records. I've shown that in two different audits that we've done and assisting attorneys across the country in fighting foreclosures. The one thing that I do want to mention here is that it could be part of a bigger scenario. If you want to get on the line on Google and dial up National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism, National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism, go to Google. It's in PDF form, and you can read all about what the Biden administration has plans for stopping domestic terrorism. And, of course, we have somebody that, you know, understands that censorship is all part of what happens when people try to speak the truth and get shut down. And our guest, you can, if you take this number down, 844-769-2944 is our call-in number if you want to speak this hour with Dr. Naomi Wolf. She's like the pride of academia, folks. I mean, Yale University graduate, Rhodes Scholar, DPhil from Oxford, Women's Studies at Barnard. I mean, just, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And she's an author, written multiple books, and I kind of like the Wikipedia version, Dr. Wolf, about you're a conspiracy theorist. I love it. But the big thing is Twitter has suspended you because you allegedly tweeted anti-vaccine information. They're calling it misinformation. I mean, this is a woman, folks, who has wrote the feminist book, The Beauty Myth. And I mean, there's some just incredible things. When you have somebody that has done the amount of research that she has done, Dr. Wolf, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you. I'm happy to be talking to your audience. I appreciate it.
And what exactly did you say on the tweet that got people so upset at Twitter?
Well, that is a good question, because what happened to me is really scary. There's a mass of news stories that are not accurate that claim that Twitter deplatformed me, as you said, for vaccine misinformation. Those accusations must have come from a Twitter spokesperson, but no one from Twitter has contacted me. I've received no response to my appeal. There's no editor at Twitter or ombudsman to call, and that's not why I was deplatformed. So they really, it's pretty scary. I was just saying to a colleague that it's like you're talking on the phone to a friend, and the phone company disconnects you and then leaks all of this inaccurate smear campaign to news outlets, you know, alleging that you said things on the phone call that you didn't say. And so it's a very scary precedent. I honestly think they're kind of trying to make an example of me for various reasons. And it's effective, because I'm getting tons of notes and emails of support from people in journalism and in science who are saying, I really support you, but I'm scared to say that in public because I don't want to be deplatformed by Twitter. So it has had a chilling effect. And, you know, 146,000 people who want to hear from me can't hear from me. So this is what actually happened. I was not committing vaccine misinformation, whatever that is in America. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I was deplatformed for the following two reasons. the minute I was uploading a video I made reading verbatim a press release from Oregon State Senator Kim Thatcher about a bill she's introduced to ban vaccine passports in Oregon and ban mask mandates, that's when my account was suspended. And 24 hours before that, I think it's also newsworthy and relevant, I had posted a video of my husband, Brian O'Shea, who's a private investigator, and he had found Ralph Barrick's CV. And Dr. Barrick's CV shows over $14 million in funding from the NIH, including for gain-of-function research. And it also mentions Dr. Xi Jingli, the bat lady, quote-unquote, of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So that video got 74,000 views 24 hours before I was suspended from Twitter. And that video really contradicts Dr. Fauci's assertions to the United States Senate that he had not funded gain-of-function research. Dr. Fauci's relative works for Twitter, may or may not be related. I have no evidence that, you know, it's had an effect, but journalistically it's a conflict of interest. But that's what I was posting. You know, very, very newsworthy, accurate reporting, both on a misstatement that Dr. Fauci made and also on a United States Senator, you know, state senator bill, you know, civic information from a duly elected official. So it's very scary that I was targeted and smeared for posting this accurate and newsworthy information of public interest.
Right. Well, Yahoo News also mentioned that you compared Fauci to Satan.
I don't have any memory of doing that. Now, I can't access my own Twitter stream. I don't think I ever said Fauci was Satan. I think I said, here's how we know Bill Gates is Satan. And then I have lots of documentation on how Bill Gates was profiting from the pandemic and pushing policies that harmed our kids and kept them out of school and so on, and, you know, restricted our freedom through vaccine passports. I don't recall saying that comparing Dr. Fauci to Satan, but I have to say, you know, nothing in the Twitter rules says you can't say that. You know, nothing in the Twitter rules says you can't have opinion about our elected officials, and nothing in the First Amendment says you can't have an opinion about, and he's not even elected, he's appointed, you know, about a government employee or an entrepreneur. You know, again, I don't recall saying that, and my lawyers are looking into those news outlets making statements that often took what I said out of context or just said things that are not true. But even if I had, big deal, it's the United States of America. No one thinks I'm literally claiming that he's Satan, you know, and I'm a writer. I'm allowed to say, here's why Bill Gates is Satan, or here's how we know Bill Gates is Satan, and then provide evidence. It's rhetoric. You know, everybody understands that. So, you know, I would still say this is not Poland in the 1980s, and I'm allowed to have an opinion.
You are. And that's the beauty of this, folks, because you have to understand the mindset we're dealing with here. When you appeared on Tucker Carlson, I'm like, wait a minute, now she's a classic liberal. What's Tucker having it on there for? And when I started to listen to you on the videos, I'm going, oh my God, this woman is on our side. This woman is actually speaking in a non-polarized manner. She's actually putting out words of warning that something is going on, and she's a truther, and she's discovering things that really, we need to stop being partisan about and start sticking to what's going on as far as the facts. And then I ran across your book, The End of America, A Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot. And this was in 2007. This many years ago, I remember on our show, City Spotlight Special Edition in Northport, we were playing a clip from the movie trailer, 1984. And I was reading this, and all this stuff is flashing back in my mind, and then I came to the introduction, step 10. And this is pretty scary stuff, folks. Dr. Wolf, would you go in and give me a synopsis on step 10 and what it's all about?
Sure. And just before I do, I mean, thank you for your kind words, but I don't see that I'm on, you know, your side or even the side of, you know, my home tribe, the Democrats. I really feel like every single thing I've been saying since 2008 is consistent and is on the side of the Constitution. And the Constitution transcends party politics. We were, you know, the founders didn't ask us to love the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Green Party. They asked us to love the Constitution of the United States and to protect and defend it. So I just want to make that note. And the other note I want to make is I haven't changed. What I'm doing is journalism, right? And you're supposed to be finding the truth. You're supposed to be revealing the truth. And so to have that be like seen as somewhere on the partisan spectrum or even called a truther when you're just doing journalism, to me it's a sad evolution. And I rather than thinking of myself as a truther, I think we should all be truthers if what we're doing is, you know, doing basic journalism, basic investigation, and standing up for our rights and freedoms as Americans. So 10 steps to fascism. Yeah, thank you. So I wrote a book called The End of America during the Bush era, but it really is not about any one administration. And at that time, I saw from looking at history, and especially the histories of closing democracies, how easy it would be in the United States to lose our rights and freedoms and become a tyranny. And so it was a warning. And what I saw from looking back at, you know, times and places like Italy in the 1920s under Mussolini and Germany in the 1930s and East Germany in the 50s and China in the 80s and so on, what I saw is that every, would-be tyrant has a map that involves 10 steps to fascism. And, you know, there are like 10 stages you go through, 10 things tyrants always do. And I kept up my warnings through the Obama years, you know, which was lonely. I was one of two or three liberals warning about things like drone strikes, you know, and Guantanamo being open and so on in the Obama years. And now I'm one of two or three liberals warning about a headlong rush to tyranny under a Biden administration. And I guess the reason step 10 is so important is that for 12 years, people have been saying, Naomi, tell us when we're at step 10, which is there's no turning back from step 10. It's, you know, martial law. It's the end of the rule of law. And it's pretty much impossible to regain your democracy or your liberty once step 10 is established. So, you know, I've always promised to say when that would happen. It's always been like, not yet, not yet. Well, you know, it is upon us. We're here. And I'm not going to pretend that we're not. 48 states are operating under emergency law. I'm in Massachusetts right now. It is under emergency law. I'm going back to my home in New York under emergency law. You know, the boards of health have suspended property rights and closed tens of thousands of businesses, including you know, immigrants' businesses, historically Black businesses, businesses of people who, you know, fought and struggled for that, you know, step up the ladder. Our children are out of school. The social contract is broken with them. We're being told that we have to, you know, get vaccines in order to participate in society. We're having vaccine passports rolled out in California, in New York State. There are vaccine passports and unlawful discrimination going on. There's surveillance. I mean, you know, what happened to me on Twitter is just one example, but there's increasing censorship across social media platforms, notably of conservative voices, and I'm a progressive, but this is really scary. It's scary that the President of the United States, whom I don't like and didn't vote for, Donald Trump, it is bad that Facebook has silenced him. That's not America. That's not American. It's not, you know, freedoms of speech. And so everywhere we look under the guise of the pandemic, which is now largely behind us, you know, it's being used as an excuse to suspend our rights and freedoms and never give them back. And you know, we are literally here, you know, and the next stages are increasingly terrifying.
Okay, so you explained that this is the hallmark of a police state. And when we start looking at George Floyd, which was never mentioned in this domestic terrorism booklet that the National Security Council put out, I was just kind of shocked because one of the things that was in there was we need to take away our guns. We need to take away these assault weapons because look at this handful of sicko shootings that took place across America last year. And it's like, well, wait a minute. What about all the riots? What about all the police state activities that happened? What about all the cops that were murdered? What about the people that are screaming defund the police, but the people are looking at this scenario going, well, wait a minute. If we defund the police and all the police quit like they did in Portland on the rapid response team, you know, who's going to protect us? You know, so if you don't have a police state, you know, it's kind of a give and take on this whole thing. It's very confusing. But the thing is about censorship, and I think you know this to be true, Dr. Wolf, is that you keep the masses confused in a total state of confusion. They're more easily manipulated.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, I guess I'm not really sure what your question is, and I haven't seen the document you're describing. But I would say this. As an American, I'm just going to be honest. You know, I don't like the way our partisan divide leads us to kind of cherry-pick tragedies, right? Like, as Americans, I think it's all of us should be equally appalled when, you know, people of color are treated in any way differently in the judicial system or when there's violence against people of color, and we should be just as appalled when there's violence against, you know, people of any color, and we should be just as appalled when, you know, there are calls to defund the police because the police are public servants and risking their lives to take care of us. And, you know, all of these are American tragedies. We shouldn't, like, I think conservatives would welcome a lot more support if they were willing to say, you know, one black teenager who's innocent, you know, shot in police violence or mistreated in police custody is too many. They're all our children, right? And by the same token, and I say that to my friends on the left, you know, in any way excusing rioting or excusing calls to defund the police instead of reform them, you know, is also unacceptable. Violence is violence. But I really would like us as Americans to go back to seeing, you know, all of these kids as our kids. All of these public servants are public servants. You know, certainly institutions can be reformed or supported in reforming. You know, to see all of these, you know, forms of violence and instability as affecting all of us, right? I mean, I don't think we should let ourselves be divided as if, you know, it's either or black lives or blue lives. Like, every life is precious if it's an American life or any human life.
Well, that's so true. And the problem is that if you say all lives are precious, they point a finger at you and call you a racist, which furthers the divide. I don't get it. I'm just really troubled by the fact that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You know, I've been having a lot of, you know, conversations across political divides these days. And, you know, just like I'm super even-handed, but just like I say to my liberal friends, look, you have to, like, listen. You know, not everyone who's a conservative is a homophobe. Not everyone who's a conservative, you know, hates women and wants to take away abortion rights because they're misogynist. Like, listen, you've got to listen, right? By the same token, conservative, like, I'm kind of tired of, I'm just going to say it, kind of tired of hearing conservatives, you know, downplay racism. I mean, you're right. People shouldn't be called racist if they say all lives matter. But it would be really nice to hear conservatives, you know, speak up against systemic racism and speak up against people of color being treated in any way differently and against, you know, violence aimed at young black men in particular. I mean, why not, right? I mean, we really have to heal these divisions and like, show our humanity to each other and listen to each other. So, you know, if you are being told you're a racist for saying all lives matter, you know, stay in that conversation and show that you're not a racist and keep saying all lives matter, right? But don't give up on trying to have a conversation about our common humanity, because there's some very deep scars of racism in this society. society, and also because, you know, there are deep scars on our side. Like, we on the liberal side are really scared that we'll lose personal autonomy. We're scared of gun violence. We're, you know, we've each side has been demonized to the other side, and we've just got to find each other again as citizens and as a community and really listen.
You see, and that's the part I really liked about this in the book. And step 10, you know, that the suppression of free speech, I mean, you as well as anybody know that censorship is a big thing. If somebody doesn't like you, hey, we'll just, you know, if they don't like what you say, they'll just cut you off. And, I mean, that limits our ability to converse with people when social media, which we relied on so heavily during COVID-19, all of a sudden, yeah, you know, if you put something on there they don't like, you get censored.
Yeah, well, I'm calling these days for a revolution that's peaceful, and one of the things I'm calling for is for everyone to kind of come back into what I call analog spaces. I think it's kind of good, you know, not to be on Twitter all the time, and I think that we all have to, like, one reason the lockdown drove us into isolation from one another and forbade worship and forbade freedom of assembly, First Amendment protected freedom of assembly, was it made us dependent on human contact via technology, right? And so that's why the tech bros are double digits billions richer now than they were before the pandemic began. But it's also been a way to destroy our culture and destroy us as a nation. And we haven't talked about China, but I think China, you know, is behind a lot of this, benefiting from it. But I would really say to people, you know, get off of social media, go to a bar, you know, seriously, go to church, go to synagogue, you know, go to the town hall meeting, have your neighbors over, you know, start bowling leagues again. Like, seriously, we have been divided and impaired intentionally by being splintered from one another and kept in these echo chambers. And, you know, everything you know about my side of the aisle comes from algorithms these days, and everything I know about your side of the aisle comes from algorithms. But I went out, you know, and drove across the country and met people who don't agree with me. I married someone who doesn't agree with me. And, you know, this is the best thing I could have done, because when you're face to face with people who just don't agree with you, but they're lovely, you know, you can create a community and you can learn from them and they can learn from you. And
yeah, talking to Dr. Naomi Wolf, folks, on the Power Hour here. We're going to be taking a short break and coming back and talking about the Military Commissions Act and the Patriot Act, which sadly are still in place. Stay tuned.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Back again with our second hour of the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, your guest host. I have a website. It's called cloudedtitles.com. There are 8 books and videos on there. We teach people about how to protect your rights and freedoms. The saying that we always say on my radio show, City Spotlight, is if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. So we have Dr. Naomi Wolf on the phone with us. And during the break, we were talking about all sorts of interesting little tidbits of history. And a lot of people out there may still be confused. Dr. Wolf, I think you have a lot of historical perspective in this book, The End of America, in Step 10. And you talk about the Military Commissions Act and the Patriot Act. I'm just considering, you know, we go back into history, and we were discussing in the break the War and Emergency Powers Act that was invoked by then-President Roosevelt. And I'm just kind of curious as to, you know, from a historical perspective, does that act still, is that still in place?
I'm sorry, I really don't know the answer to that. Periodically, people tell me that we are under an emergency regime, and I know about the NDAA and have written about it a lot, and that was 2012, and I was actually in the courtroom when Obama's lawyers were arguing in front of the judge that President Obama had the right to detain United States citizens indefinitely without charge or trial, including journalists. But I am not familiar with what you're describing.
Okay, well, let's go into that. That's the Military Commissions Act, is that right?
No, this is the National
Or is that something different, where the president could detain even journalists?
So my only knowledge of the name is the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, and it tends to be renewed as part of the budget every year. But it was something that went through in 2012, and it was absolutely terrifying because it did give the executive powers, you know, which the executive didn't have previously, to detain anyone without charge or trial forever for giving material support to terrorism, but it didn't define material support. So, you know, the judge was asking President Obama's lawyers, well, would that include this this journalist, a well-known journalist, you know, if they're interviewing al-Qaeda? And Obama's lawyers said, yes, we could detain this journalist forever without charge or trial for covering terrorism, for reporting on it. So it's pretty scary. It's a very scary law, and it's still on the books.
It still is. So what you're saying basically is that if any time that the president, at his pleasure, wants to claim someone as a domestic terrorist or claim that they're supporting domestic terrorism, they could be basically arrested, thrown in a hole, and nobody may ever see or hear from them again.
That is correct. It's not just domestic terrorism. It's material support for terrorism. It could be foreign as well. But, yes, that's correct, that things, you know, black sites, detentions, kidnappings that used to be done only overseas, you know, by this law could be brought home. And, yeah, you could get arrested and detained and held forever without charge or trial through the NDAA. It hasn't happened yet, to my knowledge, but the thing, you know, that I've been trying to warn people for 12 years and, you know, the world we're in confirms abundantly that I was right, you know, my deplatforming confirms that I was right. When there are powers, and I say this as a former political consultant, when people go to the trouble of creating a law, they will use it someday. You know, they're not wasting all those legal fees for nothing. You know, as you were saying, the Patriot Act, 1,200 pages, that was ready to go. Like early in March of 2020, I read the Coronavirus Act for Britain, and I was like, and it was 2 weeks into the pandemic, and I was like, how do they know? Why are they postponing elections to 2030 in Northern Ireland? Why are they postponing elections to 2021 in England? This is, you know, we're 2 weeks into this bad disease being around. What is this? But the Coronavirus Act was ready to go. And it doesn't mean that these are not real crises, but what it means is that cynical interests, you know, develop evil plans and deploy them when there's an opportunity. And that's what we're seeing with the pandemic, you know, that people don't like democracy. Those in power don't like democracy. Those, you know, tech bros don't like democracy. China doesn't like democracy. Bill Gates really doesn't like democracy. It looks like Dr. Fauci doesn't really like democracy. And so when there's an opportunity, you know, presented by the pandemic to suppress all our rights forever and, you know, hand over all emergency rule disproportionately to Democratic governors now and to an administration that wants to create a single-party state, they will take it.
That's even scarier.
I'm sorry.
And you, not only that, but you,
like,
you,
I can't.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I appreciate your honesty, Dr. Wolf. This is something that should scare the hell out of every American. Because we're all trying to come together and we're trying to live peacefully and coexist without having another civil war, despite the fact, like I was saying earlier in our show today, that it doesn't take a Rasmussen poll to tell us how close we are, because ever since, you know, the lockdowns and whatnot and all the violence that's been happening and the border invasion, and you have all these coyotes and people in the cartels coming into this country, and then you have these papers on domestic terrorism. Yet all these very potentially harmful people are just being allowed to sneak into America, and God knows what they're going to do next and whether or not that's going to serve as a catalyst for future intervention by the federal government. I think, isn't that what basically I looked at your book, The End of America, and I was just kind of like, wait a minute, this is, you know, are sleeper cells real? I mean, is this something that, you know, could be used to the government's advantage and to our disadvantage to suspend our constitutional rights? I mean, that's what this whole thing just, you know, smacked me right dead in the face reading all this. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, first I want to say clearly, so I can't be taken out of context, because there's a little, you know, growth industry right now taking me out of context. I just want to say clearly that I support peaceful political action and even peaceful protest and resistance. So I just want to be super clear that, you know, I never, ever advocate violence. I advocate peaceful resolution of differences and peaceful reform. That said, I mean, I guess I'm such a downer guest, because what I'm trying to tell everyone is, it is not a matter of could there be instability or, you know, bad actors coming to this country to give a pretext to suspend the Constitution. In 48 states, the Constitution has been suspended. That's what emergency law means, right? You know, I'm in touch. I'm CEO of something called Daily Clout, which is a platform that gives everyone the ability to see legislation and act on it and draw up their own legislation. So I've been working with legislators in states ranging from Maine to Michigan to Oregon and New Hampshire. They can't end emergency law. They are legislators in name only. The state houses are closed. You know, the state house in Maine, a legislator had to sneak in and got herself disciplined because she showed me the closed statehouse. In Oregon, they can't even get into the statehouse. In New Hampshire, they're, you know, convening at like a convention center because the statehouse is closed. That means legislatures are not meeting. They're not legislating. You know, in New York State, Governor Cuomo can do whatever he wants, right, with the Excelsior Pass, because the legislature doesn't have the power to stop him. They don't have the power to recall him. Look at California. California is a referendum state. That means that, you know, there are 27 referendum states. It means that the people have the power to add up their signatures and put a referendum on the ballot and, you know, do anything, like put anything they want on the ballot if they get enough signatures. And in this case, we had a referendum to recall the governor. The governor's still there. That's what emergency law looks like. So I'm trying to tell, and you know, this is the biggest story that has not been reported in any major news outlet. The United States of America is closed for business, you know, when it comes to legislating at the state level. The people have been dispossessed of their rights and freedoms. That's what's really going on. And what we've just lived through, that it took so much fighting to open up some of these states, and I've been fighting hard peacefully to, you know, draft these bills and get these bills introduced to end mask mandates and vaccine passports, end emergency rule. They could do that to us any time with emergency law. You know, when our kids are supposed to go back to school in the fall, they could say, no, we're closing the school. You know, when people try to, you know, keep their businesses open, they could say, we're closing your businesses again. You know, we're taking your property. I mean, people have got to look around and see what's happening. Their legislatures are closed. Like, how much more loudly do I need to say that? You know, the emergency is here, right? It's because they did it to us.
You're right. 844-769-2944 is our toll-free number. If you have questions for Dr. Naomi Wolf here on the Power Hour, Dave Krieger with you as a guest host, and I am just riveted by everything that Dr. Wolf just said. You know, especially we have this now Department of Homeland Security, and I was reading on page 7 by 1930, Nazi propagandists referred to Germany not as the nation or the republic of which it was, but rather as the Heimat or the homeland. And this is everything that we're seeing, it basically is history repeating itself.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, the USA Patriot Act, the COVID-19 Act, all of these things, as far as emergency power, until we start getting some callers in here that might have some legitimate questions to ask, you know, where do you see us in step 10 as far as being able to shut this off? What do we need to do, in your opinion?
Well, there are answers to that. Yeah, peacefully. Thank you. There are answers to that. I mean, do check out the Five Freedoms campaign on dailycloud.io, because there you'll see five model bills, and one of them is end emergency law. And you can just download those model bills and send them to your state legislators. There's a little function to find your state legislators and say, I want you to sponsor this bill. And then you and your friends and your families have to lobby your state reps, ask for a meeting. You'd be very surprised. People are really surprised how many of their state reps are getting back to them, meeting with them, doing Zoom meetings, you know, really responding. Others aren't, but, you know, Americans have to learn to kind of use their civic muscles again. And then you've got to mobilize your community to pass these laws to end emergency law, basically. And New Hampshire reformed their emergency law and went a long way toward ending it. Pennsylvania, I mean, it's kind of a domino effect, right? Because Pennsylvania saw the pressure on other states, and they dropped all emergency restrictions, including emergency laws. So they became the third state to end emergency law. But state by state, citizens have to, you know, send in that model bill to end emergency law and get on the phone with their state reps, email them and say you have to end emergency law. And especially Democrats, because what I'm finding, I'm sorry to say, as a Democrat, is that Republicans are willing to you know, listen to their constituents, say we need to restore our freedoms, restore our constitution, but there's a wall, I hear this expression across the country, of Democrats at the state level, like they're getting orders from the top, you know, refusing to listen and to collaborate on this. So it's really going to take, ideally, Democrat citizens lobbying Democratic state representatives to say, we're done with emergency law. And, you know, honestly, do what the founders asked you to do. Go to a protest, you know, like demand that your state house reopen. You know, the civil rights movement took years of months and months and months of peaceful civil disobedience. People are going to have to start doing that again. There has to be no business as usual, and I mean that peacefully, not Antifa-type riots, but like peaceful civil disobedience, disrupting business as usual until we get our democracy back. And you need to, like, gather in town halls and inform each other of this, because people don't even know that the local newspapers have been gutted. I was kicked off of Twitter. I was covering this. You know, I've been deplatformed. I can't even upload videos interviewing state reps to YouTube anymore. You know, we have to go back into these human spaces and hold giant meetings just like in the 19th century and say, look, everyone, in Mississippi, in Connecticut, you know, across the country, the state house is closed. We need to open the state house and ask the state reps to speak to the community. They want to. They're frustrated. They don't know what to do, but without citizen support, they're powerless.
So this is dailycloud.io is what you're saying contains these bills?
Dailycloud with a T.io.
With a T, okay. Dailycloud, okay. Yeah, we don't want people's heads in the cloud, that's for sure. Yeah, dailycloud.io, folks. Yeah, make a note of that because that contains the necessary information. You can do the research yourself. You have plenty of time, right? If you still feel like you're in this mental lockdown state, like so many of us do, and if you're in a state that has emergency powers still in place, I think most people would know that. You know, my whole take on this thing is whether or not how many of our constitutional rights have been taken away. And by what authority? There's been so many legal challenges, especially in Michigan, to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's ability to do the things that she's doing right now. Did you have any take on that, on what's happening up there?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in addition to citizen pressure from below, we do need lawsuits. And there are a lot of good lawyers suing to stop people like Gretchen Whitmer and Andrew Cuomo and Gavin Newsom and all these captive criminals, you know, from stripping people of their constitutional powers. So you can support those efforts. You can support the ACRU. I believe they've got some legal actions. You can support Children's Health Defense. They're taking action against vaccine passports. You can. There's private businesses you can support. I just want to mention Sales Nexus, their competitor, Salesforce. They're offering digital tools that are, and they're not building vaccine passports. Salesforce is building a vaccine passport. It's not directly related to the question of reopening legislators, but it's tangentially related because the vaccine passports are kind of a nail in the coffin of our liberty. So definitely reach out. And if you are a person of means and you can afford to hire a lawyer, you probably have standing to sue, because all of us have suffered damages when our, you know, when our state is closed or we've lost our liberties, our right to move around.
So in your step 10, getting back to the end of America, because there's a lot of people out there that I've talked to lately, Dr. Wolf, that they appear very depressed, and it's like, you know, why bother? Why do we, they're going to come in our house and shoot us anyway. I mean, this is how depressed the conversation is getting, and I'm like, you have to understand something. This country is probably the most well-armed citizenry in the world, which is one of the reasons why we have not been invaded directly by a foreign enemy. But the thing is that when you look at all of what is happening here, the fact that, you know, we are becoming more nationalized, absolute power corrupts absolutely, according to the old British Lord Acton. You know, I look at stuff like this and I'm saying, you know, how close are we if we don't do something to stop this? Is there a timetable? You think that there is no hope for America, that we are going to just dive headlong into the abyss? I mean, is there a particular timetable in your mind that, you know, we have to stop this by a certain date or something crazy is going to happen?
I mean, I used to answer, like, I've recently been answering this question very differently, right? I used to say, you know, we're very close to the edge, but you can still mobilize and you can still, you know, organize and, you know, we can push that window back open. We are, you know, we are in the abyss, right? The challenge now is getting people out of denial and dysfunctional depression so that they can see that they're in the abyss and do something about it. And here's what I mean, but, you know, but it's relative, right? I mean, we're, because of the Five Freedoms campaign and other activists fighting hard, there are many states in this country that are pretty open, right? I mean, we just drove through Idaho and South Dakota never closed. Florida is wide open. You know, there are states where people are living normal lives in this country. And you compare that to Canada or Britain, where people are under house arrest and being propagandized, and their children are being forced to wear masks all day and being told, like, no mask, no voice. And they have no rights or freedoms at all. So I think what people have to notice is that it's taken a huge effort in America for people to grab back some of the freedoms that have been kept from them in some states. And you've got to compare that with countries that were free a year and a half ago, like Britain and Canada, and are now totally enslaved. But having said that, I want to say to my fellow Americans, wake the heck up. Like, what is wrong with people? Seriously, 12-year-olds, you know, are, like, I am not an anti-vaxxer, but my inbox is full of parents saying, I cannot keep my child from the state injecting them with an experimental injection. You know, that there's a van in my child's school, and they are not needing parental consent. You know, this is the kind of thing the Nazis used to do, right? You know, early on, right? 1932, 1933, like, break the bonds between parents and children, put the state in between parents and children. Like, that is a crisis, right? For 100,000 businesses to have been forced to close, that is a crisis. For a child I love who's nine to be forced to wear a mask indoors for 8 hours a day, you know, keeping him measurably from being able to learn language and articulation as well as he would if he could see people's faces, according to educators, you know, that is a crisis. For our children to be told anywhere that, you know, they are not allowed to gather or assemble or breathe freely, you know, that what is happening to these kids, right? And parents can't even intervene for kids to be told they have to be, you know, learning remotely and not having, like, basic acculturation so that they can kind of play and problem solve and learn how to be human with other children. Like, we're there, and where is everybody, right? Like, I'm surrounded by a small band of activists across the political spectrum, and I'm talking to people who recognize that something's really wrong. But I literally don't understand how parents can let this happen to their children and not literally lie down in the street, you know, and put their bodies between these people who want to harm their children or muzzle their children. Like, as a parent, I don't get it. So, like, we're there. You know, they did it to us. They took our freedom. They stuck us indoors on the basis of bad data for a year. They broke the social contract with our children, you know, and didn't educate them for a year. And they took all the power. So, you know, I don't like guns. But I recognize now what the Second Amendment is for. It's to, you know, to make sure that they can't come into people's homes and violate them more directly. And I respect the founders' foresight about that. I'm not surprised that guns are next. I'm not surprised that, you know, all kinds of experiments in suppressing people, like vaccine passports or saying you can't travel or, you know, you have to do this or that, give the state your kidney before you, you know, can enroll your child in school. Like, this is a biofascist state, right? And it has happened. So what we need to do is get the hell together in human spaces and remember what it is to be Americans. And larger picture, people in the West need to get together and remember what it means to be Western. And it means that you are not subject to the Chinese Communist Party. You're not subject to the state. They can't shut you up. They can't tell you what to do. You know, as long as you're not breaking, you know, reasonable laws, they can't keep you from protesting. They can't keep you from your constitutional rights. But people have to stop being such sheep. Like, I literally cannot believe how passive my fellow Americans are being.
No, I understand that completely. The depression level is crazy, but that's all part of, I think, the planned agenda for taking us over, because the more confused we can remain, the more we're at each other's throats, the more polarized this country becomes, the easier we are to take control over. This has always been my... This is where there is no even agree to disagree. You know, we're both on the same page here, folks, and this is one of the reasons why I've asked Dr. Naomi Wolf, who is a Democrat, to come on what is traditionally a conservative show. I mean, she's been on Tucker Carlson, and if you get a chance to look at it on Rumble, because I don't know that YouTube will continue to carry that, but if you look at it on Rumble and some of these other platforms, I mean, there are other ways of, you know, getting the message out. And Dr. Naomi, besides being suspended on Twitter, what other vehicles are you resorting to get your message out?
Thank you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to anyone who, you know, who wants to talk to me, basically, because I think this is an emergency. But, yeah, I'm on Daily Cloud, as I mentioned. Telegram, Gab, and Rumble. You can see us all there, and I'm starting a podcast about more soon. But, you know, as I keep saying, like, I'll be available on all of these platforms, but mostly I really look forward to you know, meeting all of you in human spaces, you know, gathering in human groups and, you know, connecting. I'm hanging out with my neighbors is what I'm doing, and, you know, reaching out to people across the country and hopefully person and not just
Sounds
on
good.
These platforms.
I appreciate that. DrNaomiWolf.com. That's her website. Folks, I know she appreciates your comments, as do we here on the Power Hour. Once again, the show will be archived, and we appreciate your joining us. My name is Dave Krieger, and it's been a pleasure being your guest host today, Monday, June 21st, 2021. Thank you for joining us here on the Power Hour. Don't forget to shop the Power Mall.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.